We want to thank you for just a job very well done.
Thank you so much. And to all our staff members, including myself, are bilingual, and we have many, many people whose first language is Mixteco, second language is Spanish, maybe it's English, who enter the library for the first time in their... And, well, for one, it's not their condition, which is wonderful, but there was this woman that we kept telling her, you can check out the books, because her daughter's school had, come on, mama, come on, let's go in and get books. And she said, what do I have to pay? What do I have to pay? And we kept saying, okay, the taxpayers have paid for this service. It's a wonderful service. But she was scared. And this other woman said, and they were jabbering away in Spanish, it's fine, look at all, I got this big stack of books for my little girl. You can take them all. It's all free, and we're all working together.
Continuing on item 4.4, citizen input. I'd like to invite any citizen here tonight who would like to address the Othello City Council. Please raise your hand and I'll acknowledge you, and you can come forward to the microphone and address the council. Is there anyone? Okay, hearing on this PG grant funding for the West Newman Street sewer system improvements.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion made by Eugene, seconded by Angel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to item 4.1. On our agenda tonight, it is with great pleasure and honor, I would like to call forward our new police chief, Phil Shank, for a presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen of council, honorable mayor, Mr. City Administrator, tonight is my third week here, so this is the first day. So far things have gone very well, but one of the pleasures has been the staff that I've been able to work with. Sergeant Dave Rem, for a little bit longer, has been a great help, and he's done a great job, in my belief, for this city. So bringing him in front of you tonight, the mayor will be, we are asking for a promotion to assistant chief, and I see him very capable of being that right hand within this department. And as you swear him in with the oath, we'd like to call his family up when he's up here to help in the badge.
Yes, I think I'll come forward. Dave, would you please come forward with your family? I'd like to thank Dave for his service, first of all, with a commendation when we set out the business of replacing the police chief. Dave was the natural choice. He'd been in the department the longest amount of time, and we had depended upon Dave because we were coming up with some critical issues in the department. We had union negotiations. They had just changed, the union had just changed to the Fraternal Order of Police, so there were some issues we needed to walk through with them, plus a new contract and also the accreditation process. In addition to his sergeant responsibilities, he also handled the responsibilities as the interim police chief, and he did a wonderful job. We are very proud of the effort that you gave the City of Othello, the administration, the city council, and the people of this community. This is the first of many that you're going to get tonight. So this first item I want to give to you is a ribbon of honor.
Mr. Mayor, I'd also like to point out that this is the first time, this is a meritorious service ribbon. He'll be wearing it on his uniform. This is the first time in the department that this has been issued, and it is an honor, so congratulations.
So, Sergeant David Ram distinguished himself by outstanding service to the Othello Police Department and the City of Othello by his performance as acting chief of police from March 7th, 2014 to August 11, 2014. During this period, the leadership, vision, and devotion to duty of Sergeant Rim were instrumental in the very effective operation of the department during a time of change and uncertainty. His experience, knowledge, and people skills made it possible for the Othello Police Department to continue to function at a high level while management completed the process for hiring a new police chief. Sergeant Rims unselfishly assumed the many duties of chief while continuing to perform his sergeant responsibilities, all in a superb manner. In addition, he played an important part in preparing the department for the upcoming certification process. The superior initiative, outstanding leadership, and devotion to duty displayed by Sergeant Rim reflect great credit upon himself and the Othello Department. And that is a job very well done, Dave. Excellent work. Thank you. With that, I would like to officially give you this commendation from the City of Othello to you to recognize this meritorious service that you've given the city. And tonight, the mayor and the city administrator will sign that and make it official. Okay? Yes. There we go. Thanks. And now, we don't leave yet. We have more.
Got a formality, huh?
Yes.
So the city council wants to take some action, and then the police, our police chief, will conclude this honor for you. At this time, I'd entertain a motion from the council to appoint David Rim as Othello's next assistant police chief.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. I think I heard Gina first, seconded by Eugene.
That's fine.
Yep. All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Phil?
Will you be issuing the oath again? You don't need to. He's already been sworn in.
Okay. Were you going to have him, or are you going to have his wife?
I would like to. At this time, one of the traditions that we want to start in the police department is, and this is, in the military, we call it the pinning. And in this case, what we're going to have Dave's wife do is pin a badge on him. This will be the first time that he has worn this badge as the assistant police chief.
Dave, you want to say some words?
I want to thank Aaron and the crew that came in tonight. Nice to see you. I'd like to introduce my family in the back. My mom, my father, Larry, my sister, Marianne. Sue's with the police department. She's a dispatcher and one of my good friends. Heather Miller, Lois is here with her family. I recognize everybody in the room. So it's been nice. It's been 25 years here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. Appreciate it.
Well done. Thank you very much. Moving on in our agenda, item 4.2, final plat approval for Palos Verdes, and we have Daryl Piercy, the city planner, here with us.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to excuse myself due to a conflict of interest in this matter.
You're excused, Angel. Okay, Darrell, will you proceed?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Darrell Piercy, city planner. Before you for consideration is the final plat in PUD approval for the plat known as Palo Verdes. You may recall that this plat in PUD went before the hearing examiner, received approval by the hearing examiner, subject to a number of conditions. The process that we undertake in the city of Othello for plat approval is once we have the preliminary approval by the hearing examiner, it is then up to the applicant to make a demonstration that all of the conditions that were imposed as part of the plat approval process have been met. Once they are able to do that, they then can come forward to the city council and seek final plat, and in this case also PUD approval, for their application. We have had an opportunity over the course of the last several months to begin to review all of the elements that have been provided by the applicant in this matter, moving forward towards completion of the overall project in a manner that's consistent with the requirements and conditions that were imposed by the hearing examiner. Upon that review, staff has determined that the applicant has now met those requirements of the hearing examiner, and we come before the council with a recommendation for final plat PUD approval. There were a number of unique characteristics of this plat that were just part of the overall approval process, but one in particular I think we need to just note for the record, and that is a portion of the plat is actually a piece of property that was located inside the county. And in order for the plat approval to be to move forward, one of the conditions from the hearing examiner was that that property be brought into the city. And the way that that was accomplished was by providing the city ownership of that particular piece of property. And the property is located in the very eastern portion, southeastern portion of the plat, a very small triangular piece of property located right here. And what that property will do will be it will be part of the right-of-way system for the roadway. The applicant is dedicating the entire roadway system to the city of Othello, and so this will also be part of that dedication and will be under the ownership of the city of Othello. The other portion of that land will be utilized for one of the stormwater detention ponds that's part of the overall stormwater system within this plat. And it's a pretty extensive system with a number of ponds located throughout the plat. Now, the issue with that pond is that the city will not be responsible for the maintenance. That is specifically a requirement of the Homeowners Association that will be required for the maintenance of the stormwater facilities as well as the common open space areas as part of the PUD for this particular plat. But that transfer has taken place, and that the city is now owns that property. It was provided to the city as was required under the plat. So that condition of approval has specifically been met, and we believe that that is the fully meets the intent of the hearing examiner's decision in regards to getting that property located within the city, owned by the city, and also part of the overall plat. In the memorandum, the agenda memo that went out to the council, there were four items that were listed that were still in need of conclusion as part of this overall review process. And three of those have now been taken care of between the time that this agenda memo was written and this evening. The bonding has been provided to the city for those items that remain uncompleted, and I'll talk about that in just a bit. We also have this transfer of ownership now has taken place to the city, and that the punch list items that were developed by Public Works have either been addressed or fully bonded. So we do believe we're at a point now, other than the final review of the Mylars by the city engineer, to move forward with final plat approval. So what we'd be asking the council this evening is to consider a motion that would approve the final plat and PUD subject to the final review of the Mylars by the city engineer, and seek authorization for the city administrator to sign those Mylars once the city engineer has indicated that all requirements have been met. Now, I should add in this that the city engineer has had an opportunity to review the Mylars. There was a Scribner's error noted in the Mylars, so they've gone back to the original engineer to have that correction made. So we're very confident in bringing this matter before the council that the city engineer has actually reviewed those, and once this minor correction is made to the Mylars, they'll be ready for city administrator signature. So. The one thing I was going to point out is that the bonding that we have in place is primarily for the completion of the sidewalk system within the plat. The applicant was required to provide curb gutter sidewalk on both sides of the street as required under city code. But the agreement that was made early in this process with the assistance and agreement of Public Works staff was that the sidewalks would be installed at the time of each individual lot development. And the reason for that is because unlike a number of plats that we have in the city already, this plat particularly is going to have a lot of custom homes designed and built specific to this location. So it's very difficult initially to make the determination of where things like such as driveway should go, since these are all custom homes and each layout is different from others. We can't use a cookie cutter and say this is where the driveways will be and match up to the garages. So each lot will be developed based on the development of that lot and the house design, and that'll drive the location of the driveway and then ultimately the development of the sidewalk. So it's not an uncommon practice in higher end developments where there is some question as to what the ultimate design will be of the residences, and this is a typical approach to accommodate that need. And we do have bonding at 150% as prescribed in code, and feel comfortable that in the event that anything were to happen, those sidewalks will in fact be completed. So we do feel comfortable bringing this before the council this evening with our recommendation for approval, subject to, again, that final review by the city engineer.
Okay. Council, do you have questions?
One. Why couldn't we do rolling curbs so that they could be completed ahead of time?
Well, a number of reasons, but primarily it was based upon the recommendation of our city engineer, who did not feel that rolling curbs adequately served the city's needs in terms of long-term maintenance requirements. And Public Works staff believes that by not having rolling curbs, the plowing efforts of their staff will be enhanced by having standard curbs. So there was some effort not to put in rolling curbs for those two reasons. And so the applicant agreed, and this approach was undertaken.
Good. Does he have a certain amount of time to do that, or it could be 20 years?
Well, the bond is a two-year bond. So the period that's established under this existing bond is a period of 2 years. If the applicant were to come back to the council at that time, let me step back. The applicant would need to come to the council after a two-year period if they chose not to or were unable to complete the task, to either seek an extension of that and provide new bonding or complete the project at that time.
Any further questions, council?
You see a house, I mean, you know, somebody buys a lot and lets it set for 10 years, you're going to have an open section of sidewalk in between two closed sections of sidewalk?
That's a question for Darrell.
Again, what we're looking at is that two-year period. Let's say in the process of 2 years, with the best situation available, 95% of all the lots were sold and built upon. And the applicant were to come to the city and say, see, I really need some additional time for the final 5% of these lots. Then the council will have that choice to either grant that extension based on the circumstances or ask the applicant to move forward and continue the completion of the sidewalks. Now, what happens when the sidewalks are poured in advance of house construction is that the sidewalks most likely will be dismantled in some fashion to accommodate the curb cut that would be necessary for the driveway. So it's not impossible to pour the sidewalks. It's merely an advantage to the potential new homeowners purchasing those lots to have the sidewalks in a location without an additional cost to that homeowner. At some point after 2 years, it will be advantageous to just have all the sidewalks installed. And then at that time, each individual lot owner will have to either utilize the curb cut that's already in place or make the decision to relocate that. But at least through the first two years of build out, it's not uncommon to have this kind of an arrangement to allow those sidewalks to be constructed at the time construction takes place.
And so then, to answer John's question, at the end of 2 years, the developer has the option to reapproach the council to either install them or continue a bond?
Correct.
Okay.
And the council at that time could set a term for that bond as well, whether it be 3 months or 6 months or an additional year, whatever seems appropriate under the circumstances. It's at the the choice of the council at that point.
Thank you, Darrell. Any other questions? Corey? Okay.
So Mayor, what we would be looking for this evening, just to modify slightly what's in your agenda memo, is a motion that would approve the final plat PUD for Palo Verdes and authorize the city administrator to sign the final Mylar upon completion of the final engineering review, and also to recognize this transfer of the land that completes the overall plat.
Okay, so we're going to do all that in one motion?
In one motion.
Okay, I would entertain that motion right now.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, Johnson made the motion, seconded by Gina Doro. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Darrell. Garza has returned, and so now we're going to move on to item 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to go before the council tonight? We'll move on to item 6, new business, and Spencer has a couple things he wants to tell us tonight. Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I approached the mayor and Wade earlier today with the desire to come before council and give just a brief explanation or a brief overview of the budgeting process. We're right now just starting to head into the budget process, and ultimately, hopefully, we'll pass a new budget either at the very end of November or very early in December. And so I wanted to give you just a brief, some of the broad strokes of the course of events that are going to lead to us passing that budget. The first piece is a process that we're in the middle of right now. Each department head and myself and Wade and the mayor, we're reviewing the budget for the current year, we're developing estimates for end of year estimates that'll help us build our new budget, a preliminary budget for 2015. We're going through line by line developing this preliminary budget right now. So that's the first step. The second step is we're going to have a series of meetings with members of the council through council budget committee meetings. We're going to divide the budget up into, last year we divided it up into 9 different sections. This year we might have a few less. I'll talk about those in just a sec. We're going to divide the budget into a couple of different sections. With those, through those committees, we're going to again review this year, ending 2014, and we're going to look at our proposals for 2015. At that time, we'll talk about capital projects, capital requests, directions that the mayor and Wade and department heads would like to see their departments take in this new year and new things for the city of Pocatello. So we're going to have this series of meetings, and those meetings are going to be probably the last week of September and the first couple of weeks of October. That's what we did last year. It worked quite well. After that, in November, we'll take everything back together. We'll compile a master budget for the city, and we'll review it in two different meetings in November. So it's a lot of information to go over in one night. So in two meetings, we can review these budgets, we can review at that time the capital items, the projects that we like to see. We can prioritize the projects if we can't do everything, as we often can't do everything that we want to do. At that time, we can prioritize and make the best list for the city. And then at the end of November, we'll pass our official budget for 2015. I looked last year and we passed the 2014 budget in November, November 25th. That was the last meeting in November. And so that'll be my target again this year. If we if we at least shoot for that, then we'll be able to pass it earlier in December and not have to worry about all this business through the holiday season. So that'll be nice. So next week, I'm going to put together a list that looks much like this one. This is the list of council budget committees that we had last year for the 2014 budget season. And so the names on here and the dates are all from last year. Don't pay attention to the names or the dates. Maybe if it's a little bit bigger, you can see it better. So down the left side, you can see different sections that the budget has been broken up into: contracts, general government, street fund, water, sewer. Last year, we talked about joining the street and water sewer meetings into one. Solid waste, special revenue, debt service funds, parks and rec. And then at the very end, we have law enforcement. Last year, we had code enforcement split out. In years past, code enforcement hasn't been under the police department. It is again now. And so the code enforcement is such a small piece of the law enforcement budget as a whole. It makes a lot of sense to wrap those two things together. So last year, we had 9 different meetings. If we wrap these two meetings together and the water, sewer, street meetings that were further up in the list, we'd have 7 different budget committee meetings, which I think is doable. For each one of the meetings, I'll update the list of council members that represent each one of these committees, and I'll also put together a tentative schedule that'll look something like this. So you can see last year, during the last week of September and the first 2 weeks of October, we had all of these meetings. Next week, I'll have this updated and ready to go for next week's meeting. And during that meeting, I was hoping that we can talk about what will work for you and what won't work for you. I'll put together something that is kind of matched what we've done in the past. And at that point, we can kind of finesse things. If there's a time or slot that's just not going to work for you, we can move that around. That's all I had. I just wanted to give you a sense of the budget season, just some of the broad strokes. And if you have any questions, my office is always open. We can talk about this a little bit now. I know a few of you have expressed interest in finding out a little bit more of the budget process before we get really heavily into this process, and that's fantastic. Ultimately, it's your budget, and I want to give you the information that you need at whatever level you want it to make a budget that works for you as representatives of the city. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Spencer.
Yeah, thank you.
So as we go through the process, the end of next month, 1st of October, we're really going to be diving into the budget. This is what part of the responsibilities as a council member and as the mayor, we have selected officials to review that budget and to set the budget for this next year. So Spencer and Wade and myself will all guide you through the process. And if we run afoul of the law, I'm sure Catherine will bring us back into line, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you. We're in the middle of a well drilling operation, and Wade asked me if maybe he might just kind of update us a little bit as where we're at on this drilling of well 9. Council should know.
Hey, Council, remember that 2 weeks ago, you guys gave the mayor and I authorization to make some decisions between council meetings, and that's what we've done. And so at the present time, we've gone past the contracted point of 952 feet, as you guys asked us to consider doing. We looked at all the options, and that looked like the best course of action. Our original plan was to go down to 1,100 feet and stop there and do some testing. But as we mulled it over again, this is all last week, a very busy week with the well, we looked at what was going on, compared our well to the one out of Bruce, and the advice of a water expert that we've been working with, as well as the well driller himself, who's been doing this for a long time. He suggested we continue down and tap into, attempt to tap into the Grand Ron, which is the other aquifer. Remember our tutorial from our expert last time. So that's what we're working towards. At this point, we're down to about 1,080. That was as of Friday afternoon. I didn't get a report this afternoon how far they went down. But in the process of doing that, it's already paid benefits. We've tapped into yet another water-bearing zone. So now we're in, I think, 4 water-bearing zones. If you remember what we talked about last time with Kevin, he talked about static water levels, and those are important. Right now, our static water level is held at 50 feet below the surface, which is surprising everybody. The theory we got briefed on last week was that it looks like we may be on the other side of that wall that's holding the bowl that Othello's been tapping into, and on the same side as they are at Bruce, which is more good news. I'm not trying to be too optimistic here, but it's looking pretty good. So what we'll do at this point, the plan is to go ahead and tap into the Grand Ron aquifer itself and then plug that off and then do a pump test to see how hard we can pump that system we have. If it pans out that we'll get plenty of water, we'll keep that plugged above the Grand Ron and pump from that aquifer. If it doesn't come out good, like we want it to, we'll go ahead and get permission from Department of Ecology, who has indicated they will give us that. Go to the Conservancy Board of Adams County, and get their permission, which they follow the lead of the Department of Ecology, and then tap back into it, which will, it's a simple matter of pushing through that plug again and then drilling from the Grand Ron. And that's our plan right now. So I just gave you a lot of information, so I'm sure there's questions. You guys have questions for me? Okay, John?
How far down into the Grand Ron are you going to go before you plug it?
Just enough to make sure we can hit the water bearing zone.
Okay.
And see what we've got. And the theory is we'll have a downflow.
So you're 1,080 right now, and your XRF is coming back still in the Grand, in the Wanapum?
In the Wanapum,
you're
yes.
Not in the Grand Ron yet?
That's what we've got so far, John. Also, the fluorides, which are obviously a concern always, have actually gone down. They're up a little bit, not a lot, still below 1.0. The last test we got was down again around 0.4 something, I guess.
Did they give you any indication whether or not that water bearing zone that you found down in the 1,000 foot range was the Vantage Inner Bed or?
What's what, Jensen?
The Vantage Inner Bed. There's an inner bed that lies right between the Wanapum and the Grand Ron.
I think they said it was sort of the bottom of Bruce.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I have to go back and look at that.
I remember the Palouse being mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they'll probably be punching into the Grand Ron shortly.
Pretty close. They think they're right at the top of the hard basalt.
Okay.
It's part of that Grand Ron rock. And they were doing sending some samples out, so we should get some information back on that this week.
But they could drill 200 feet more and still not get into anything.
Well, at some point we'll call King's X and stop. But it cost the city approximately $17,000 every 100 feet we go, $170 a foot. So way cheaper than pulling out and going back in at this
point.
So we thought that was the best decision to make. I talked to Spencer about how much money we have available, keeping tabs on that.
But there shouldn't be any reason to plug it at all if you just tap it. Because if you tap the Grand Ron rock bed, you're not going to produce any water from that zone. So if you're going to just pump test the Wanapum that you're actually in now, there shouldn't be any reason to
cook. But we're going to go into the Grand Ron water.
So you want to go continue to drill?
We do, yes.
Till you get a water-bearing zone,
yes,
in the Grand Ron?
Yes. That's
how far do you think they'll go?
They're thinking it's going to be another 100 to 200 feet.
Before they hit a water-bearing zone?
That's what I was told, yeah. But again, John, that's just a guess.
Okay, so let's just say they go 200 feet and you still haven't hit water.
We're going to evaluate every 100 feet, okay? I imagine they probably hit 1,100 feet. We know they're going to go past that, 1,200. 1,200, if we don't hit anything, we're going to evaluate. I'll talk to the mayor and I'll talk about it. We may probably get the water committee and some other folks involved, yourself included.
And then come back to the council and continue to drill?
We don't want to, we can't wait. We can't have a guy on pole time. It costs $150 an hour for him to sit out there with his rig. So at some point,
how often are they XRFing the material?
They're doing it every trying to think last time I got. It's pretty often. It's less than 100 feet.
Okay. So like every 50 feet they're doing an XRF?
About every 50 feet, okay. Yeah. It's pretty often.
Well, if they get an indication early enough, it's not going to put them on hold. You're not going to have them on standby if you know, if you could get to a Monday meeting and get a council approval.
Right.
Shouldn't we give somebody the decision to make that decision even if we don't have to vote on it? I mean...
That's what you did.
Yeah, but I mean, we're coming to the end of that we gave them. We said they could go ahead and go to the 952 feet. They're already past that. Well, how far can... Do we need to give you approval to drill to 1,600 feet?
I don't think we give them permission to go to a certain specific depth. I think we just gave them the ability to make that call on their own.
Good. Well, then if you have to go to 1,600 feet, go.
We already got that, yeah. But I'm going to keep, what I'm saying is I'm not going to just keep going without talking to you guys. I feel comfortable doing that. So.
Well, the only reason to drill into the Grand Ronde would be to hit water.
Yeah.
Right.
And if it took 600 feet to go and get water, you go to go get it.
Well, if it goes much past about 1,200 or 1,300 feet, we need to talk. Because it's going to be...
Now we're talking about finances at that point, and then now it becomes a financial decision.
I think we were also talking about trying to maintain under the engineer's estimate. So far, I think the current drilling was about 115,000 or in that neighborhood under engineer's estimate, and we didn't want to exceed the engineer's estimate.
Because we had some extra money there because they came in under estimate.
Right. It's in our budget. That's the budget of what's in the engineer's estimate. But Spencer and I talked about if we have to go above that, if we really want to tap into it, we have some money available for that piece as well in the water budget, right, Spencer? Is that, can I say that right?
Yeah. Ultimately, when Wade and I were looking through the budget, I think it was last Friday, when we're looking at the water fund and the water reserve fund, we've planned ahead for the next 3 or 4 years looking at capital projects. And if we need to spend a little bit more money on this, it could push some of those capital projects off a little bit, but there's the ability to do that. So
but before I get to that point,
yeah,
that's where I'm going to talk to more folks.
Okay. We had moved over, what, $2.5 million?
We budgeted, I believe, is $2.6 million.
$2.6 million for that project, and the large portion of that would be the piping and the infrastructure to get it back into town.
Yes.
Have we started receiving any quotes from contractors? Have we gone out to bid? Have we done anything on that?
I think we needed to get the well done and see if there was water first.
So I think we've got some preliminary stuff, John. Let me check when I get back to you. I'm not going to tell you something that's not right. So let me make sure where we are with that piece right there. I was so concerned about getting water.
Right.
I didn't ask that question, but I think we've got some preliminary estimates on that, not actual bids. But let me check.
But if there was anything left over in that total budget that would help us continue to drill if we wanted to drill.
We don't have a lot of slack to play with because where we actually went the well in, we got to make some adjustment for a little bit extra piping. So we don't have a lot of slack to play with. So that's what I'm working with right now. That's why I don't go much below 1,200 or 1,300 feet without talking about pulling more money out of the water fund.
I'd hate to stop 25 feet short.
Agreed.
The only thing is that swing out is to get those piping underneath Main Street before they repave it.
Yeah.
And we've been talking to the county about that and figuring out how to do that. So that's, we got it all figured out. It's just a matter of going for bid for the actual pipe. But let me see where we are.
Okay.
You have a question?
You're saying we're drilling down in the Grand Ronde until we hit water bearing and then you're going to plug it? Are we going to do any testing on that water before we plug it so that we don't miss out on that?
We are going to do some testing. I told just Truth Advertising that maybe if we have a downflow, that may be difficult to get a true test. But the indications have been so good right now for fluoride, it seems to be okay.
And we'll test it for any other...
We tested for nitrates and stuff, or once you get past a certain level, I think nitrates are not an issue.
Somebody was saying that there could be a possibility of sulfur dioxide.
I was just going to say that the other piece, the sulfur piece, and we should be able to test for that. That should be evident. But as I go through this, I keep learning more and more, this is not an exact science.
No, no.
At all. And like I told somebody the other day, I feel like I'm standing at the crap table sometimes with this thing, but I don't feel like gambling on the city's money, to tell you the truth. So we're trying to make as informed decisions as possible. Other questions?
Council?
Okay.
Okay, very good, Wade, thank you. Item seven, or is there any other new business, council?
I'd like to, because this is what we discussed last time, I'd like to have a full review by staff and present a presentation made to council on why we're not allowing rolling curbs in the city of Othello.
Allowing what?
Allowing rolling curbs in the city of Othello. Okay, so I'd like the staff to tell us their reason and the city engineer to come before the council and make a presentation on why that is something we wouldn't consider as a city. The second thing, I'd like the staff to come before the council and talk about the present wastewater treatment system that we have today, what the capacities are, and what effect do the future developments that we put into Othello, if their stormwater is connected to the present stormwater system, how that impacts the wastewater treatment system that we already have today.
Stormwater and wastewater are separate. They cannot be combined.
So where's the stormwater going today?
It goes to the...
It's a retention pond.
There's a retention pond out there by the highway.
Okay, and then it bleeds back into the canal, or what?
It just absorbs into the ground.
So that's holding it.
It's an evaporation.
Okay, so there's no impact from future developments on the other than the sewer systems that are put in for each individual home?
Potentially, long-term, there are.
Yes.
Yes.
But your question goes to what's our current capacity?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that nobody sitting here could quote.
I know, I'm not asking anybody here to do that.
What I'm saying is maybe it would be a good idea.
It would be nice for a presentation to the council, because future expansion of the city is also dictated not just by giving them water, but by being able to handle water as it's being, you know, discharged.
Is there any water going into the canal there?
No, is there? It should not be.
I don't believe.
No,
I don't think we were allowed to.
Because there's a big pipe there, and in the past I've seen that water flowing into the canal.
So
I don't know if that's there anymore. I don't know where that water's coming from.
I wish I had Terry here. But I believe that big pipe is, you know, the canal system has a drain system to it. I mean, the irrigation system has a drain system to it. Some of that goes back into the canal. Like, that's where it eventually ends up. So, that's what we just got talked to today about, Sean and I did. So that's what you're seeing. To answer the question on impact of the stormwater to the stormwater system on future development, that's what we're very conscious of, making sure that as we build these other developments, it goes into that system, because we have...
So that it's actually built into the plat of the development, that they have their own stormwater system?
Right. In fact, company that Mark works for is actually doing the thing for the Ashwood Notch thing here that we're draining into our system. It's designed for that. Now, as far as wastewater, what I've been told is we're okay for now, but one thing we're concerned with is the next between 5 to 10 years. And Gina, does that sound right?
Well, we haven't had a committee meeting yet, you know. But water and sewer, I'd like a little bit of an education on how many gallons a minute the flow rating would be for the wastewater treatment system, and on a daily basis or a monthly basis, how much can they process through the waste treatment plant?
What's our capacity?
I can probably tell you that I don't know the exact.
And do it in the form of a presentation in front of us.
You have a lot of retention space in those ponds down there, and.
Well,
but the issue is going to be with DOE coming back and saying that the lagoons do not meet the standards of removal for certain, I think chlorine is one of them, and there's certain ones that are issues, and there's just no way for a lagoon system to meet those.
Our system is
Tightening.
Yeah, our system's becoming adequate based on the tightening standards that the governor's signed in the law, and so us, along with many other communities in the state of Washington, are going to be impacted. Our new system out there would probably cost us, we're thinking, close to $20 million. A lot of money. So we're trying to save for that right now. The capacity is okay for now, but it's the ability to treat for those contaminants that's going to hit us.
For the discharge under an NPDES permit into a body of water.
Right.
Are you talking, John, the capacity of the pond or the flow that's going through the pipes?
Well, today there's an ordinance on the books that does not allow any discharge of wastewater from industrial users. I mean, if somebody came in and put in a small facility and did not want to put together a waste treatment system of their own, they have no out. They can't give it to the city. Because there's an ordinance on the books that says there is no discharge of industrial wastewater to the city POTW.
It's not the capacity that's the issue on that. The industrial users usually have things in there that are going to affect your system, whether it's heavy metals or other elements that are going to be, they're going to affect the actual waste, and that's why I think the city has that ordinance, is to keep it domestic waste, so that there's anything coming into that plant that's toxic to the bacteria, the quote-unquote bugs in the system, if there's a kill of those, then the system doesn't work.
Yeah, that's
detrimental.
After our conversation last week, I asked Terry about that, and that's exactly what he told me. Now, we can have, if you want Terry to talk, we'll be glad to sit down and discuss it. But
okay, knowing what I know about that, there are certain industrial waste streams that would be very beneficial for activity, anaerobic activity, for bugs.
Yeah.
So, I'd still like to see it brought before the council.
Okay. Would you just come talk to me tomorrow or something? Let me make sure I know exactly what you want.
Okay. Okay.
Anything else, John?
That's it.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm meeting next week on Tuesday.
Thank you, Eugene. And our next meeting, our regularly scheduled city council workshop will be held on Tuesday because of the Labor Day holiday. Also, I wanted to remind, if you wanted to be a volunteer for the new pet rescue facility with the Othello Outlook, there was an article. You have to sign up online in order to appear on camera if you're going to be on the TV show. So, the council would like to be a part of that. Go to the animahouse.tv website and sign up. And I think then we'll move to item 7. Council will receive 7.1 department heads July reports, and having no further business, we'll conclude our meeting at 7:54 p.m. Thank you. Excuse me, 7:58 p.m.
Mm-hmm.